Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one down, hour number two starts now. The vibes are high. It feels like a football Friday with so much energy to talk about multiple, you know, leagues. Talk about the NHL and the NBA in their postseason. Major League Baseball, full gas here in April. But the NFL draft, round number one, did complete last night. Johnny Wrightside and Joe Ranieri here are certainly going to carry you through the next 2 hours with all the hot topics you need to know, getting you ready for tonight's NBA action, tonight's NHL action, Major League Baseball action, and round number two of the draft, which means rounds two and three will be on deck tonight. Let me ask you a question, Joe, about the draft itself. Like, since we've gone to prime time here, I thoroughly enjoy this content more than it was just all glommed into Saturday and Sunday. How about you?
I agree. I like the way they have done it, and I certainly like the fact that, you know, we're not sitting here ripping apart the usual suspects going, what in the world? Are they kidding me? The Jets, Dallas, you know, teams that were used to making absolutely head-scratching decisions. Now we're going, wait a minute. Could this be, Donnie, that everybody has turned a corner and is about to do the right thing? Well, again, the second round is coming today, and it's still to be determined here.
I do actually think it helps the draft process per se. Like, you know, let's just say 25 years ago, like the organizations that were on the ball with great scouting departments could take advantage of teams that maybe weren't all about it because so many picks happen in one day. You can't hit that reset button. The fact that everybody gets a first round draft pick, then you get overnight to reset the draft board, make your phone calls, see who wants to trade up and trade down, who's going to be available and do a little bit of extra research, I do think helps out. And I think most teams last night absolutely nailed their draft picks and were finding a hard time finding like a loser, like never heard of this guy. Can't believe they drafted him. They didn't need that guy, which we're not getting, which also pertains here to round number two and the overnight thought process on what's going through the Sanders family mind, which includes Deion Sanders and his son Shador, who expected to go in the first round. And for a time being, maybe expected that he would be a top five pick. Let me ask you this question. The calls that are being made to Shador overnight, he's probably going to go early in the second round. Do we have any thoughts on who that team might be since now the Giants are out of it, figuring they got their guy that was one of the guy teams that he was possibly looking at? The Pittsburgh Steelers, we talk about as one of those teams who passed over him, and certainly, you know, a multitude of other teams, which include possibly the Cleveland Browns as well. Like, what's the process today for Shador Sanders, his camp, and also the NFL and where he might go?
Listen, we still know the teams. All the teams that are quarterback needy that passed over him in the first round, most of those teams, Donnie, are all picking in the within the top, what, 10 picks of the second round, too? I mean, Cleveland alone has got, what, three picks out of the first five or six. New Orleans also will be in that mix there. The Giants will have enough. There's a lot of it's going to happen early in the second round. But I think it just the skepticism is real. There were a lot of NFL scouts and teams that just didn't think the upside of him was worth the circus in drafting him in the first round and bringing him into the organization with the pressure that he has to play. And, you know, teams usually succumb to that. At least one quarterback needy team you thought would have went in and said, heck it, we need the quarterback. Let's give it a shot. but none did. And I think that's very telling.
No, it is very telling, too. And again, Shedeur Sanders is going to be a hot topic throughout, you know, many shows today on the Sports Grid Network. Yep. And over the next 2 hours, we're going to keep on hitting Shedeur Sanders, where he might go, why he fell there, and some of the thought process on what we can anticipate for day number two of the draft. Always want to keep the people, Joe, involved in that, but also keeping them involved in the NBA and what happened last night, which means the Oklahoma City Thunder dead to rights in the first half. Woke up at the break. Injuries happen. The superstar players can certainly change the mindset of an organization like the Memphis Grizzlies throughout the game itself. That looked like an easy victory for the Grizzlies, which turned into a nightmare. 114-108 final. The Thunder come away with the victory. We're not even sure Ja's coming back for game number four, which probably means a sweep is intact. But the Grizzlies had their chance to get back into the series, and through injury and poor play in the second half, weren't able to. 31 total points, Joe, combined for the Grizzlies in the second half. Not going to work.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about a tale of two halves here, and you want to talk about revenge. Oklahoma City allowed Memphis to score 77 first half points, Donnie. 77. That is one shy of matching any opponent's high from the regular season. It's also the largest halftime deficit they saw all year long. But what happened? Yeah, well, Morant didn't play the second half. And that's pretty much, I believe, Donnie, they were about halfway through the third quarter and the lead was already trimmed in half. And from that point on, it was lights out for Memphis to score 77 points in the first half. They were doing exactly what OKC did to him, right, in game one. But they couldn't finish because once Morant went down, and now his status, by the way, is still questionable for game four. But I think we can all agree it's all she wrote here.
Exactly. The kitchen sink game for some of these underdogs is always game three in their own building to sort of show up and extend the series to at least be a gentleman sweep of five games. It's not even going to get that far. And you just look, Joe, at the plus minus numbers for the Memphis Grizzlies last night. We'll get to Ja Morant in a second. -9 for Jaren Jackson Jr., -2 for Zach Edey, Desmond Bain, -10, Scottie Pippen Jr., -5, the bench guys, -8, -2, -13, and a +3 for Vince Williams, who only played 1 minute here. Ja Morant was a +16, and they lost by 6 points. How big that injury was massive. And also, the start that he got, too, it was efficient. 6 for 11 from the field, only 1 for 4 from three-point range, got to the free throw line, 5 assists here. Things were moving in the right direction. And we talked about this also over the breaks. You look at a Memphis team who had that big lead at the half. If Ja doesn't get injured, you might have Oklahoma City, and rightfully so, white flagging it late in the third quarter saying, all right, we're probably down 25 or 30. Let's rest up. Let's not get injured. It wasn't our night. Congratulations, Grizzlies. We'll get you in game number four and game number five. And everything changed after that injury where Oklahoma City's like, yeah, we might be down, but if we just win, you know, the next three-minute segment by 4 points, the three-minute segment after 4 points, we got this team on the run. And it was apparent, and it was true.
Yep. Well, and the problem was they certainly would have scored more than 31 points in the second half had he not gone down there. His playmaking was the difference. They had no answer for him. He was getting everybody involved. And then when they tried to key in on him in the first half, other guys were making shots. Without him on the court, this is a shell of a team here. And we saw it again. But kudos to OKC. They never panicked. It wasn't like they, you know, they made up 29 points in 2 minutes. They slowly and methodically played defense, came back, got good looks, made shots. This is a team poised to be very dangerous coming out of the West for sure.
And just like every single time you take a look at the statistics at the end of the game, and I can guess, like, you know what? Without looking at the box score on an OKC win, Joe, how many points did SGA have? Oh, that's right. You know he didn't have more than 35, but you knew he had more than 30 points. Right at 31 points last night. And the things I like about this, too, is SGA hasn't even played great yet in this series, Joe. 10 of 26 from the floor, and they still won that game. We're waiting for the MVP SGA of the regular season to show up, and that you still have Williams at 26 points and Chet Holmgren at 24 points. This team is deep.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're not going to need the SGA MVP in this series. You never were. So it's going to be, he's got to show up in the next couple of series if they're going to make a run at this. But it's good that everybody else is getting involved on this team. And you're right. Makes it very difficult to defend for future teams and future series coming up.
I love it. Don't get injured, OKC. Press the lever down, win game number four, move on and get that rest advantage into round number two. Now, if we are betting men, which we are, is there a possibility that somebody would say, okay, let me take a minus 100,000 favorite or take a plus, what, $10,000 dog in the situation? The FanDuel Sportsbook is saying, tap out, baby. No spreads or games even needed in this one. We know where the series is going. Let's reset the odds market in the East and the West next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Oh, the early line on a Friday. We love it. It's so much fun. The weekend is just about here, and it's our job to get you ready, as we say, continuously. But also understand the topics at hand. We just reviewed the NBA games that took place last night. We will handicap the games that will take place tonight. But sometimes, Joe, you take that deep breath, and you get the re-rack here. We're not even through the first round. Some teams are set up for a sweep. We get that. Some teams and some series are set up for a 6-7 game series, which is fantastic as well. But let's take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, where the odds market is shaping up for us, starting with the Western Conference. It's no surprise. We just talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder taking a 3-0 series lead against the Memphis Grizzlies. They are currently, yes, the favorite to win the Western Conference at a minus 165 price, followed by the Clippers, who had an impressive victory over the Nuggets last night at a plus 750. The Lakers at an 8-1 number. The Warriors at a plus 850. And so on down the list here. If we're looking at this odds market, does anything bring to your attention right now? Or no, Donnie, we need more time to let this settle in. It's basically just chalk at this point for you.
Well, listen, you better take a serious look at the Clippers at plus 750 here, because they are the one team that I think is worth taking a flyer on. If anybody's going to beat OKC, it's this Clippers team that is built to do that, provided we have a healthy Kawhi Leonard and Norm Powell and, of course, Harden and Zubac and company there. But this Clippers team, very experienced, very poised at plus 750. That's your value. Now, whether or not they end up beating the Thunder, who knows? But I can tell you, if it comes down to Thunder Clippers, what are the Thunder going to be? How big a favorite there, Donnie? I don't think you're going to get the Clippers at plus 750 to win that series for sure.
Yeah, we get overreactions all the time, right? But rightfully so. It is an odds market. And the thing I always like to say, Joe, is that the odds market, FanDuel Sportsbook doesn't wake up one day and say, roll the dice. Hey, 165 came out on OKC. Or, okay, 8-1 came out on the Lakers. Like, these numbers are there for a reason. They're being bet into. And also, that's what the algorithm, as we like to say, is talking about. The Golden State Warriors plus 850. The reason I bring that up is because that's directly with the Houston Rockets in a 1-1 series at 21-1 to win the West for the Rockets. I will continue to talk about the Rockets here. Your thoughts on them being 21-1 now, which as the 2 seed, not or the 2 seed here, they're more of the 7 seed being priced right now, Joe.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? But the Rockets, I kind of put in that same category as Detroit, right, Donnie? That very young, very more talent, that well-coached, but You know, the experience just isn't there. And I thought it was a great bounce back against Golden State. But now I got to see him win a game on the road in Golden State here for me to lean that way. They certainly have the talent and on paper, and they have a head coach who knows what he's doing. But the problem is, I still think they're a year or two away from truly contending for a world championship.
Yeah, see what they do, and also understand this. Like, we talk about Will John Morant playing game number four, questions about Jimmy Butler going down with that hip injury. Jimmy's as tough as they come, so the expectations were him for to be playing or returned back to the court as soon as possible, hopefully is the case. You see the Timberwolves down there at a 13-1 price. Just talked again about the Rockets at 21-1. And then there's the Denver Nuggets. This is a few short years ago, winning an NBA championship, still have maybe the best overall player in basketball. Any feelers for you on the Nuggets at 30? Not to win the title, Joe, to win the West at 37-1.
I just think there's just too many. The defense is not what it has been in past years. The reason Mike Malone and the GM are no longer there is they couldn't get on the same page with how to build this roster. There are holes all over the place. And let's face it, Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr. miss a game, or Jamal Murray. They don't have any depth. They've got no way to overcome any adversity. And that defense, the worst heading into the postseason, they're not going to make it anywhere near the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, the West seemingly like some of those longer shots, like, ooh, you know what? Good basketball teams, we think they can make a run. We flip it over to the East, and it just feels, and rightfully so, Joe, it's the top two, but it's been that way throughout the regular season and now the start of the playoff picture here. The Celtics, who aren't the one seed, they are the two seed, but they are the favorites to win the Eastern Conference at a -145 price. That even with the injury situation to Tatum, where the expectations are he is going to return sooner than later, but certainly not on the court. The Cleveland Cavaliers, a +175 price, handling their business early in the series against the Miami Heat. Then the drop-off comes. The Knicks at 13-1. The Pacers at 22-1. The Bucks at 85-1 to win this conference. The Pistons, who are playing the Knicks well, 140-1. Let's start up top. Agreement there for you, Joe, that it's the Celtics and the Cavaliers by a wide margin, and you agree with those price points, even if the Celtics are still currently listed as the favorite.
Well, I think anybody on that left side there, Celtics, Cavs, Knicks, Pacers are all legit and can make a run here. We know that. I think the Tatum injury is interesting to his wrist. I don't think they need him to beat the Magic in this series by any stretch here, but it's going to be interesting. What is the lingering effects of that wrist injury moving forward? And listen, the Cavs have been the best team in the East all year long. There's no reason why we shouldn't consider them the front runner here, but you're the champs until somebody beats you, and we'll see how that works. But I wouldn't sleep on the Knicks and the Pacers. How many more times do we have to watch the Pacers do this? They're playing the best basketball we've seen in a long time, and they've got experience now.
Come on, Joe. Can I sell you on the Pistons? 140-1. Like, if they could beat the Knicks in game number four, away we go with these big tickets here. But it's hard to say because you know the end of the roadblock is going to be the Celtics and the Cavaliers. But it is fun to see some of those price points for teams playing quality basketball that might not have the lead in their actual series themselves. It is interesting. And again, the Bucks with that pedigree too. It's still Giannis there. If Dame can catch lightning in a bottle, 85-1, not even to win the championship, just to play through the Eastern Conference and get to the title. So we look at those price points. The Miami Heat, good luck, 700-1. We know they probably don't have enough to come back and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, but some of these price points are crazy at this point, Joe.
Yeah, no, they're beyond crazy. Yep. And it's really, to me, there's four teams with two very chalky sides there, and there are a couple of sleepers, but in the West, it's interesting what's shaping up there with the top two teams.
Look at that, setting up the NBA for what the expectations will be. It's Joe and Donnie. We get back to the draft next. Sanders on line one. Could it be quickly in round number two?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
The NFL draft. Did you enjoy last night? I certainly did. I think a lot of football teams helped themselves. Am I going to say the pick at 31 to the Philadelphia Eagles getting a linebacker was the best overall pick in the draft? I won't say that, even though I might think that with my fandom here. But I think a lot of teams once again helped themselves out. It's the players, though, and where they're going to go in day number two as we reset the marketplace. And it always starts right up top and typically with the quarterbacks. Three quarterbacks that are still on the board that we thought might have possibilities to go in round number one did not go there. That was Shedeur Sanders. That was Jalen Milroe. That was Tyler Shough. But we want to focus on the biggest name here who was fighting just a month ago to be that number one overall pick. That was Shedeur Sanders. So people that might not have tuned in and hour number one, as we talk to Shedeur Sanders, get ready for hour number two, because we're going to try to get into some of the intricacies of why that didn't take place. And I want to start here, Joe, to be honest. Like, I don't think it really was a combination of, oh, well, he's really good on the field and really good on the whiteboard here, and he can really pick out plays. Do you think there was an element to Shedeur Sanders where if you remove what he did on the field, where maybe it would be more of a little bit of a headache to get him? And if we thought somebody was on an even playing field with him, we go the other direction? Because I really thought he would be a first-round pick. I was stunned when he wasn't a first-round pick, Joe.
Well, you know, history tells us, Donnie, where teams that are quarterback needy usually reach. Now, this was not a very deep quarterback class this year. And really, outside of Cam Ward, Shedeur and Dart, Milroe maybe, but I think everyone thought he would be a second or third round pick at best there. But you would think that teams that have no quarterback would have, especially towards maybe the end of the draft, maybe move up and go get what they think is maybe the future of their franchise. But the problem is, you're not just getting Shedeur Sanders when you draft him. You are getting a circus. And if you don't think that he is going, that there are just too many intangibles that aren't worth taking the risk in the first round, then you pass. But the idea that all of these quarterback needy teams all got on the same page and said, listen, if I draft him in the second or third round and it doesn't work out, that's fine. But if I draft him in the first round and I bring in a circus here and it doesn't work out, then I lose my job. And that's kind of exactly seems to be the theme here. Too many scouts worried that he's not a quarterback that's going to have success in the NFL. Time will tell.
He's going to go in round number two. But again, I thought he was going to go in round number one. If we set the table for round number two, because phone calls are made, and like the favorite pick in the draft typically is everyone wants to call up to number one in the first round. Hey, what's it going to take? Can I get that guy? No, we're not going to get him. Or if you trade out, it's going to be for a ransom. Day number two is always interesting to me because the draft ends, let's just say, at midnight. Kicks off again in prime time tonight. All of these hours, and as the number one pick in round number two today, it's the Cleveland Browns. Three picks later, who's on the board again, Joe? The Cleveland Browns, who they're looking still for their future quarterback. If I asked you a question this morning, Shedeur Sanders going in round number two, is it pick number one? Or do you think the possibility of a Milroe or a Shough could still go before Shedeur Sanders?
With that team, absolutely. You and I were just talking off air, and one of my questions was, if I'm Shedeur Sanders, do I want to go to the Browns? At 6'1", 212 pounds, you're already what many consider to be too short to play the position. And now you're going to have to play in 30-mile-an-hour winds in December in Cleveland in those conditions at 6'1", 212? I don't want to go there. I absolutely want none to do there. I think there are, at this point, if I'm Shedeur Sanders, it's not about just getting drafted. It's about landing in the right place, too, as well. And if I'm Cleveland, do I want a 6'1", 210-pound quarterback in December trying to win games on the road in Pittsburgh? Is that really what I want, Donnie?
It's a good thought, because you're right about it. Some teams land, like, hey, what if Drew Brees' career would have been if he was a Cleveland Brown as opposed to playing in domes and being the accurate passer, maybe not the biggest arm strength that you have.
Yep.
But if we are looking like the top five picks, let's take a look here. It's in the second round. It's Cleveland, who needs a quarterback still. Houston doesn't. The Titans at number three overall in the second round. They don't need a quarterback. They just drafted one. Then you see the Cleveland Browns on the clock, but behind them, fifth overall in the second round, it's the Vegas Raiders. Yes, I understand they got Geno Smith. He's aging. But is that a spot where we talked about, like, before the draft, like, you know, if Shedeur had a spot to pick, it probably would be Vegas. So the opportunity is coming up, and we'll hold the conversation right there until after the break, because I want Joe's opinion on this and give him some time with it. These are intriguing picks to start day number two. Let's get into it with some of these quarterbacks just might go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get down to this here, because round number two is going to be exciting right off the bat with the Cleveland Browns maybe looking quarterback with the first overall pick in the second round. But Joe and I were talking over the break. There are some teams that might jump into the picture, because the focus is going to be on quarterback, because Shedeur Sanders is a lightning rod. You also have other really talented players like Jalen Milroe, who's making a nice little run up the draft boards here. How soon does he go? And also, does he or Tyler Shook go even before Shedeur Sanders? Once again, the top five, Joe, the Browns, Houston, Tennessee, the Browns again, and Las Vegas. But you think there might be another team in the mix that says, whoa, 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 I'll pick up the phone right now, move up, because I'm still looking for my future quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Giants traded up one spot to get Jackson Dart, because you know who they traded ahead of? The Los Angeles Rams. Who have a 37-year-old Matt Stafford as a quarterback. And we all know Sean McVay would love a project like that, like Shedeur Sanders. And there wouldn't be any controversy. It's Matt Stafford. You're not starting out of Matt Stafford. And they pick at what? Number 45, I believe, here. And I think the Giants thought for sure Jackson Dart was going to go, you know, Southern Cal guy, was going to go there to McVay. So I found it interesting that they beat him to the punch. So the question is, will the Rams do anything to try to get up their successor? And if I'm Shedeur Sanders, I want McVay as Mike. Give me the Rams. Give me an indoor venue. Like, get me the right coach. Forget about the AFC North. New Orleans, I think, is the wild card, because much like the Drew Brees era, who had a lot of the same concerns coming out of college, You can't put this guy in the AFC North and expect him to win games on the road in Pittsburgh and in Baltimore there. You just can't. You can't do it. He's not built for that. He's not Roethlisberger. And I think he's got to be very careful as to who picks him in this spot.
I'm so interested to see where this ends up, because, again, the intrigue right at the top of the draft with multiple teams having opportunities, like the Cleveland Browns might go there. As we said, the Raiders might go there. And you also take a look at that wild card in the Saints, who we had so many looks in the first round that we were listening to. It's like, hey, you know what? They're really in on Jackson Dart, the quarterback for Ole Miss, not end up getting him. They're still in the court because Derek Carr doesn't even know he's going to play again right now, it seems like, with the shoulder injury that seemingly came out of nowhere here. But let me ask you this question. If we are looking at Sanders, we're also looking at Milroe and Shook. 1, 2, and 3 in that order. And I'm not just going to say that they're going in the second round guaranteed all three of those. What is your order for those players to be taken the rest of the draft?
Well, if Cleveland, who has the 33rd, 36th pick, right? They got two picks coming up of the next, five? If they are going to go, if they are absolutely going to go, I mean, they added what? Flacco and Kenny Pickett, right? That's your, that's what your quarterback situation is in Cleveland right now. I don't want Sanders because I don't think he's built like those guys in order to be able to win there. But Milroe would be very interesting to me. Would he not in Cleveland? A guy that would Kentucky, who can run. He's a big physical guy. He's got an arm. I think Milroe in Cleveland is a match made in heaven here today, Donnie.
It makes sense, too, because you're also taking a look at, you know, the and it's not fair to do this to Shadur, but hey, this is what comes when your father is Deion Sanders. You played in the highlights all season long and you have all that hype and live up to it. It wasn't as if he had everything handed to him. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, so the talent is there. But we sort of get that same feeling in the opposite direction from Milroe. It's like, hey, man, team guy, always working out hard, not seeing him as the flash guy, learning to play, willing to learn, and also an unbelievably athletic and talented runner that can put the total pieces to the pie. And you're talking about a division that, you see Lamar Jackson in the cold winds there, has a strong enough arm, but boy, when that pocket breaks down, he can get out of there and make some moves. There are elite defenses that you also need to score points against. Maybe Milroe is that guy, but there are other guys that we're going to talk about in round number two and the best players on the board outside of the quarterback position. One guy who we thought might slip into the first round along with Ashton Jeanty was to be that number two running back, and that was Travion Henderson. It wasn't Henderson that went first. We had a running back go to San Diego that went ahead of him in Hampton. Travion Henderson's board today. Early looks for him? Where do you think he might wind up?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? A guy that played, what, 4 years at Ohio State? I mean, it feels like he was there for absolutely ever. But here's another one of these classic situations with a running back. Am I drafting a running back in the second round? It wouldn't shock me if, with the amount of other guys, you got a lot of defensive linemen in this draft here. You got a lot of some wide receivers and some defensive backs. The running backs also, there's plenty of them here. Did Travion Henderson impress enough? And sometimes with all that wear and tear, do teams really want to grab a guy in the second round that had that many carries and that many snaps in college? I worry about that. I really, really do. But there's no doubt he'll be off the board by the third round, I think, for sure. Running backs from this point on, I don't know what you're going to see in the second round here.
Yeah, some pretty good, you know, players still obviously left on the board since it's the second round getting underway. But if we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, at the odds market themselves, number 33 pick overall, which again is the first pick of the second round, Shadur Sanders is the favorite at a minus 160 price, followed then by, looks like, hey, we're just going to take some shots because it's hard to predict. Mason Taylor, 5-1. Travion Henderson, 6-1. Jalen Milroe, plus 850 here at that point, and we sort of go down and move it forward. Shadur Sanders, the team to pick him with the odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the Browns as the favorite at minus 165. The Raiders, second place here, plus 350, followed by the Saints at 550, Los Angeles at 9-1, the Jets at 950, and then the Steelers at 13-1, which is always interesting to me because teams can trade up. And the Steelers decided not to get a quarterback. They still need their future quarterback, and maybe their future quarterback for a year or two could be Aaron Rodgers. But from a team that was the favorite to draft Shadur Sanders yesterday, now being 13-1 to draft Shadur in the second round, that's interesting odds market, how much they shifted where you thought he was going to the Steelers at 21. It was like, hey, just take the under. It's a guarantee it happens for him not to get drafted at all. How about the Steelers? Any chance for you, the Steelers say, you know what? Change of plans. Now there's value on Shadur Sanders.
Or they wait until they have an opportunity at maybe Milroe, because maybe they're not completely sold on Shadur. And again, if you're Pittsburgh, you said you don't really have, you got two aging quarterbacks in the room. Exactly. It would have been a perfect opportunity for you to go and get your quarterback there as he dropped, but you didn't. Instead, you went defensive line. So that tells me, and not worthy of a first round pick. I don't know that they're going to reach in the second round to go get him either. I think if there's a quarterback left on a board by the time it comes around to them, they'll grab him. If not, I think they're just going to keep building like they always did from the defensive line out.
You know what the great part about this is, too, because obviously there are NFL beat writers, there are insiders here. There's a really good chance. Like, we're looking at the numbers for Shadur Sanders to go to Cleveland at minus 165, which the anticipation is they probably draft him number one right out of the gate in the second round today. Those numbers are going to change drastically, Joe, over the next one hour, 2 hours, 3 hours right up before the draft, where I don't know if we're going to get minus 50,000, of course, because things could change at that point, but I would be surprised. And if you're looking at some of those early smoke screens by noon today, they're probably going to move those around, no doubt about it. Let's have some fun with this one. In the college football playoff and heading down the stretch, Cam Scataboo, the running back for Arizona State, was so much fun to watch. The leader in the clubhouse right now to draft him, it's the Patriots, followed by the Kansas City Chiefs, which Andy Reid would have a blast with this guy in the background.
Wow. And could you imagine? And the rich are just going to get richer. I mean, they ended up getting with the last pick last night, a future left tackle that had been injured, but everyone says in 2 years, 3 years is going to be an absolute monster. So the rich keep getting richer there, Donnie.
That's the way to go here, but I love it. Talking NFL draft, you get the recoup on day number two, and then guess what? You do it again for day number three, and the Sports Grid Network has you covered. We need to hit the ice with some advice. Chris Meany of the NHL Network coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Hour number two, certainly in full effect right now. The hot topics, you know, we have them here. Talked a ton of NFL draft, got you set up there on the NBA, but the ice advice is exactly what we need right now. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri. Welcome in Chris Meany here of NHL.com. Ready to rock and roll, because last night we had four exciting games, and every night providing some new angles here on what we think about some of these series. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. Happy Friday, guys. Always appreciate the invite. Yeah, busy night on the ice last night. And as we head into the weekend, a couple Canadian teams in particular, down 0-2 in their series, need wins tonight. But yeah, it was last night capped off with another remarkable performance from Kirill Dalla Dalla Bill Kaprizov last night in the Minnesota Wild. That's probably the most surprising series we've seen so far to date, guys.
Getting busy right away, Chris. I don't want to waste any time here because I want to talk about a game that ended up 7-2 last night. That was the St. Louis Blues getting within 2-1 now of the series with the Winnipeg Jets. You look at the seven goals by the Blues, like sometimes you think it would be seven goals for a series that Hellebuck would be able to give up. The Blues were explosive on the ice last night. What gave? And also, there was a hat trick last night that maybe we didn't expect.
Yeah, Pavel Buchnevich, their big boys showed up last night. And sometimes, you know, you hear, you know, across all sports, the NBA as well, like you're not out of it until you lose on home ice. And Winnipeg is one of the toughest places to play hockey, especially a playoff game with the whiteout. The fans were rolling. The Jets were throwing their body around. They got goaltending from Connor Hellebuck and they took care of home ice. The series shifts to St. Louis. It's another tough place to play hockey. They have some guys on that squad that have won the Stanley Cup a few years ago. Jordan Binnington, one of those players. So he was sharp to start, and the Blues just came out firing, right? They got a couple quick goals early on in that game. As I mentioned, their big boys showed up. Robert Thomas, who's been fantastic for them since the Four Nations faceoff near the end of February, was great. Buchnevich scored. And they have a lot of sandpaper as well. So they can go toe-to-toe with the Jets in terms of that physical play that Winnipeg likes to bring to the table. So they're right back into this series. And that's what I was alluding to earlier with some of the Canadian teams having home ice tonight. But yeah, a good performance from St. Louis. That was one of my upset picks heading in to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I still believe that they're really in this thing. They're going to have to win and take, eventually they're going to have to win a game in Winnipeg, guys. But if they can take care of home ice and get right back into this series.
Yeah, it was funny, Chris. We were just talking off air, and I asked you, how many more times am I going to be able to get my Florida Panthers, the champions, at plus money and in an underdog role here, because they did it again. But it's amazing because this is exactly what they've done over the last couple of years in the round two. They're built to win in the playoffs, and what they've done to Tampa in the first couple of games is what they've done to everybody over the last couple of years. What changes, if anything, you think in this series?
Yeah, I don't know much. I think the only thing, we'll see the status of Captain Alexander Barkov. He left last night. It was a questionable hit, certainly, to say the least, from Brendan Hagel to knock him out of that game. But you're right. I mean, the Florida Panthers, and I tried not to get caught up in the final month of the season where they were arresting guys and they didn't have Matthew Tkachuk. They just picked up Brad Marchand. They've really had the luxury of resting. And I kind of compared them to LeBron James and the Cavs a few years ago. They didn't care if they had home court or not, or who they played. They were going to play wherever. They were going to play whoever. When the puck dropped come playoff time for the Panthers, they were going to take care of business. And you're right, they flipped the switch. They're my team to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals for the third straight season. Look at Sergei Bobrovsky. He's among the leaders now in terms of Conn Smythe favorite. He's been good over the first couple games. Matthew Tkachuk made a presence right away in game one. Sam Bennett has that same paper. Brad Marchand, they're playing him on the third line, guys. This is a guy who has a ton of playoff experience. So they're loaded up and down the ice. They're going to get defenseman Aaron Ekblad back for game three. He was suspended for the final 20-25 games of the season, so he's certainly rested and ready to go. I don't want to count Tampa out. I think that's still going to be a series, but my goodness, you see Florida Panthers on the money line plus money. You're going to have to take them almost every single time, guys, and ride this thing out. But yeah, Battle of Florida is going to be fun the rest of the way, and especially if Barkov misses some time, maybe Tampa can get themselves back into the series, but it is going to be nasty regardless the rest of the way, considering how that game finished up last night.
Bobrovsky with the shutout yesterday, and also equally impressive, where it's one thing, hey, you're down 2-0, let's go back to home ice and even up the series. No, you lost two games on home ice. Now the Florida Panthers are saying, boy, if we can go back to Sunrise and just split, it's 3-1, the rest of the way should be good. I want to talk about that Golden Knights Wild series as well, because you saw the split out in Vegas. You come home in the Wild, really take care of business, build a 4-1 lead in route to a 5-2 victory over the Golden Knights, and a series lead here for the Wild, Chris, 2-1.
Yeah, I'm buying what I'm seeing from Minnesota. And this is another team down the stretch of the season that, you know, they just weren't healthy all year long. I mean, you know, Kaprizov was missing time. Joel Eriksson-Ek was missing time. A number of blue liners out this season. Gustafsson has been there all year long, and he's been great. Now, Vegas did control the shot attempts, the high danger chances. The scoring chances were 22-6 and 5-5 last night for Vegas. So Gustafsson was really strong, but Minnesota's another tough place to play. The barn was rocking last night, and their big boys have been there. And you can't say the same thing about the Vegas Golden Knights right now. Where is Jack Eichel? Where is Mark Stone? Those two players in particular need to step up, because we haven't seen really anything from them. And Kaprizov, 3 goals and 7 points here through 3 games. Boldy has 3 goals and 7 points. And mentioned Joel Eriksson-Ek. They're getting contributions up and down their lineup from a lot of their players. And the biggest thing, I think there is a buying window for Vegas given their experience. But the biggest thing that I've noticed, guys, through 3 games is the goaltending edge. Aiden Hill was pulled last night, and I mentioned Gustafsson. He has been the better goalie here. So if we're looking for an upset, so far, this is it. As I mentioned, this has been the most surprising of the 8 series so far, where we see a wild card team really kind of take it to the Vegas Golden Knights. They're very much in that game one that they lost as well. So again, I do believe that there's a buying window for Vegas, but some of their big boys are going to have to show up, and maybe Jack Eichel missing the final 6-7 games or so and just needing to kind of get going. But I look at their guys, their leaders, to have a big game four. If not, they're in trouble.
By the way, let's kick it back up to Canada, too. How about those Maple Leafs? What is that I see? A 3-0 series lead in round number one, Chris. Is it true? Are my eyes deceiving me?
It is true, guys. It looks like the Leafs are going to win a first-round series. I believe it'll be the second time in the last 9 years or so. Battle of Ontario, not much of a battle. Give the Senators credit. You know, they've lost the last 2 games in overtime. They've played a really good brand of 5-5 hockey as well, but the biggest difference as well in this series, Anthony Stolarz, consider him as a Conn Smythe pick as well. They're getting good goaltending.
We got Chris coming right back to re-rack those Stanley Cup odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Oh, the early line is rolling right now. The ice advice, which is exactly what we need right now from Chris Meaney. Before we get to the exciting action that it's going to take place tonight on the ice, I need to re-rack those Stanley Cup odds with you here. So if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the favorites right now, the Hurricanes at a plus 440 price, followed by the Panthers, who have a great series so far in a 2-0 series lead over the Lightning, followed by the Jets, Stars, and Leafs. Talk to me about some of this odds market that will be shifting on a day-to-day basis. Do you still agree, though, the Hurricanes at the plus 440 price right now as the favorites to win the Cup?
No, I don't agree. I mean, they definitely have a really good matchup. They're getting the Devils, who, you know, obviously they've taken care of the first two games of this series, but New Jersey's not 100%. Jack Hughes is not coming back. His brother Luke is banged up. They have a couple of injuries on the blue line. So, yeah, they have the shortest number, but I think it's just because of their first round matchup. It looks like they're going to get the Washington Capitals. I'm going to give the advantage to the Capitals. Why are the Capitals here 10-1? I mean, they've been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference all year long. They're getting fantastic goaltending from Logan Thompson. Alex Ovechkin has picked up where he left off in the regular season, had his first ever Stanley Cup playoff overtime game-winning goal in game one of that series. They're up 2-0 against a Canadian squad who has their backs against the wall as well. So I like that number for the Washington Capitals. And, you know, we talked about the Florida Panthers. They were my squad. I know that's not a fantastic number there, but we just talked about them flipping the switch. And until they show me that they lose hockey games come this time of the year, right, they've been in the finals two straight seasons. I'm not going to turn my head against picking them, as you see there, 5-1. So I think there's also a buying window, guys, in the Colorado Avalanche. My Stanley Cup final, it was the Avs and the Panthers. You know, they're down 2-1 in that series, but they played a great brand of 5-5 hockey. You look up at the top, Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar leading the NHL in shot attempts. They've really put a lot of pucks towards the goal, Jake Oettinger. They just got their captain, Gabriel Landeskog, back game three. We'll see how many more minutes he can get moving forward in this series. So I think that even down 2-1 in that series, also games that have been in overtime back-to-back games there, Colorado's very much alive in this series, and they were close to, I believe, maybe 6-1 when the puck dropped in the playoffs.
Chris, gotta love it tonight, back against the wall. I can't imagine what the crowd is going to be like in Montreal as playoff hockey is back, and another one of these series where this could easily be 1-1, but Capitals handling business. What do you think we get tonight here?
Yeah, as much as I was just talking the Capitals and their number, Logan Thompson, I like the Canadians here in this spot. And you're right, they have they've hung around with Washington. There's certainly been moments in the series, guys, where the Capitals have used their physical presence, have gotten deep on the forecheck, and just have. They've had a lot of ozone time. There's been stretches of both games where they've really dominated play. But the last two third periods in game one and in game two in particular, the Canadians used their speed. They shortened the bench, and they really dominated play. So, yeah, they lost game one in overtime. It was a 3-1 loss in game two, but that was an empty netter. The biggest X factor now in this series, as you mentioned, is the Bell Center. This place is, what can you say? Across all of the buildings in the league, this is the biggest home advantage for any team in the NHL. So the crowd is going to be fired up. They have a ton of speed. I think we're going to see some changes in their lineup. They're going to have maybe Arbor Jacki bring a physical presence and match what Washington has given them. So the Canadians played great at home this year too, guys. 23-12-6, 10-0-2 in their last 12 games. And those were all really must-win games for Montreal. So I like them to get back into this series. Overall, I do like Washington. I saw this series going six, but I think Montreal will take care of business at home ice and make this a series and use their speed, because they have, when they're skating, you know, you can see it, they're hanging around with Washington.
All three games, all three series 2-0, which means the home teams held serve here for their home ice advantage. We talk about the Hurricanes and the Devils now at the Rock in Newark tonight. The Hurricanes, no surprise, a heavy favorite tonight. Can things switch around with the Devils? Can they find lightning in a bottle and sort of play with the Hurricanes? Or at least, let's get this thing back to Carolina.
Yeah, I don't see a great path for the Devils. I was talking about earlier, they're just not 100% healthy. They had a nice push in game two. Markstrom has been solid for them so far as well, but Frederik Andersen's been fantastic, and he's owned the Devils over the course of his career, especially lately as well. So I like Carolina, and I look for their big boys like Jackson Blake up on that top line with Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis to continue to put pucks towards the goal, Taylor Hall as well. If there's a team, guys, that's going to get back into it, like the Canadians, it's the Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers down 2-0. You guys know last week when we chatted, I'd like this LA Kings team to take care of business. But with Edmonton back at home, like the Montreal Canadiens, that barn is going to be rocking. 25-13-3 at home this season. They were great last year at home. And that's why they've had the advantage against the Kings over the last 3 years, is they've started the series at home. I look for Edmonton to get back into it tonight.
Thank you, Chris Meaney. The ice advice, yeah, we just got it. Hour number three up next.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices, with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.